Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And we're going now to a very wet looking letter, Kenny. Aurora McCormick, director of Aurora's Hobbits, is there. Hiya, Aurora. How are you keeping?
It's cold and a bit wet down here.
I know, but it's important, isn't it, that you take this stand. We saw huge numbers down in Dublin and people gathering in various locations right across the country. Just in your words, Aurora, as a director of a business in this area, how important is it that funding is increased?
We need it badly at the minute. It's got a knock-on effect on everything. It's not helping the staffing crisis. It's not helping to actually open the doors at the minute. We're kind of struggling to keep going with the way the core funding is. So we're out here protesting for better money, better funding, so that we can keep doing what we love every day.
And it's an important part, as we've said 1,000 times on this show, it's an important part of life. It's not just the work that you do. It's not the care for the children and bringing them through. It's allowing people to go to work, to contribute to the economy, to get them out of the house. You know what I mean? It's an important part in many facets of life.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And you had to close today. Not everyone can close, obviously, because, you know, there's financial complications and implications for that.
Yeah, we closed for the 3 days. So we were up in Dublin yesterday. So we took off at 7 and went up to the protest and everything. And back last night at 8 o'clock and then back up this morning up here to Letterkenny after we dropped our kids off to school and things. Had to pull the grannies out to help us because we have no childcare. And down here today, down here tomorrow as well.
And the reality is what you want to be doing now is be at work and looking after and caring for children. You don't want to be standing out in a wet, dreary market square in Letterkenny.
No, definitely not.
What was yesterday like, so many different people from all around the country coming together in what was a powerful statement to government?
It was lovely to see us all because we're all struggling. Because we're all spread out and it's all a caring environment and stuff, the last thing we want to do is go up there. But we all pulled together and we went up and we did the protest and everyone's on the same boat. Everyone's struggling. Mm. But like, that's what I was saying to the girls yesterday on the way home on the bus. Like, the last thing we want to do is to cause havoc, but it's the only way we can get recognition that we need better funding in here. Like in August, before I signed into the core funding, I had to sit down and do all the counts and stuff and see if I can put the money back on the parents, which I can't. Everyone's on their knees. It has to come from the government. Like, I can't put that extra euro on a parent. They can't afford it. It's not fair.
Yeah, and the increases are tiny. They're silly money, really. The pence, pennies,
yeah,
euros,
yeah.
You know what I mean, cents.
And like, inflation's at the highest it's ever been, like, but we're stuck in our fee freeze at the minute. So we can't up them. And even if you could, you wouldn't have anyone coming through your doors because no one can afford it. Everybody in the country is on their knees right now. So it has to come from the government. They have to support us. They have to give us better pay, but they also have to give us back our title of educators. They've taken that away from us. Like, and we are educators. We are the first people that the children come in and see. We help with everything.
And a lot of people have, you know, really good qualifications and effectively earning minimum wage as well. I mean, they're not going to stick around for very much longer.
Yeah. And it's not helping our staff crisis at the minute. Like, it's very hard to get people in. And then whenever they're in, it's very hard to keep them whenever the wages are so low.
Of course, listen, parents are going to be inconvenienced by this and it's a sickener. But they get it too. A lot of parents, whilst they know this has created complications for them, they support what you're doing because they understand why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Right, so you're there till 1:30 today.
Yeah.
And you're back tomorrow. What time tomorrow, in case people want to come down and join you if the weather's a bit better?
I don't think it'll get any better. Tomorrow, 10:30 to 1:30.
I'm trying to be optimistic here, Aurora.
Oh, I love it. You're sitting in an office. I'm on a market square here with an umbrella.
All right, okay. Yeah, all right, I get you. And you're 100% right. Listen, come here. We wanted to speak to you just to offer our support as well to what you're doing down there. And we hope a resolution is found soon because we know the department that you're engaging with are issuing billions left, right and centre. And we just hope that they recognise the importance of this sector to society as a whole, not just the sector itself and back yours. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care of yourself. Bye-bye. All right, that's Aurora McCormick there, director of Aurora's Hobbits. They're down at the Market Square in Letterkenny until 1:30 today. Back tomorrow again between 10:30 and 1:30, I think. So if you want to give them a bit of support, they do great work and for not great reward either, I think is a bit of a consensus there. Shall I do a few comments on the pensions? Do self-employed get anything? That was addressed there as well. Retirement, if when you retire in order to live the manner you're accustomed to, you have to keep working. Yeah, possibly, unless you're in a massively massive income job. A pension is the government's clever way of stopping the state pension. And if so, why are we paying? Sure, a high percentage of PRSI. It's not for our pension. Hi, Greg. Do we not pay the tax when we're taking the money out when we get to the age? Nothing for free. Yeah, indeed. That was covered. If you work all your life paying into a pension and you die before the pension pays out, what happens to the pension? Well, there's two types of pensions. Both were referenced there. What about the government taking a tax off the pension funds at present? That comes in from Liam. And other people should definitely save for their pension at present. For every pensioner, there are four workers. By 2050, it's expected that for every pensioner, there'll be two workers. That's unsustainable. Therefore, in the future, either the rate of state pension will reduce or the age will be pushed out, or additional substantial taxes will have to be applied to workers. There is a pension time bomb on the horizon. Yeah, indeed. I think we'd all agree with that. Okay. Kieran Fitzgerald, a former Garda Ombudsman's Commissioner, RT producer who's paralysed and wheelchair bound following an accident in 2016, joins us on the programme now. Thanks for your time, Kieran. I do appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
No, it's our pleasure. It's important. Spinal Injuries Ireland, they've published a pre-budget submission calling on this government to automatically provide medical cards to people living with a spinal cord injury and to do so without review for a period of 10 years. So I suppose the starting point is, what's the current lived experience of many people?
Well, the current lived experience of people with a spinal cord injury varies, Greg, because the injuries and the level of severity of the injury can vary. But on average, people suffer limited mobility, very often paralysis. In my own case, for example, I'm classed as tetraplegic or quadriplegic. So that's wheelchair bound with, you know, limited movement of fingers and arms as well. That's the most obvious thing that you would see if you met somebody with a spinal cord injury. What you might not see are some of the hidden things, like the fact that people have bladder and bowel control is very often gone. So people have to wear catheters, colostomy bags. And the other hidden thing is that in itself can lead to being prone to infections like. So there's the very obvious stuff that you could see if you met somebody with a spinal cord injury, but then there's also the very hidden stuff that you don't necessarily see at first glance.
Yeah, and it affects obviously every part of the country. In Donegal, there's 78 Donegal people we know of living with a spinal cord injury. Why is automatic access to a medical card so important that it was one of the key submissions of this pre-budget submission?
It's important for people because, firstly, when people suffer a spinal cord injury, which can, you know, can happen any time, through a simple fall or a car accident or a work accident, whatever it might be, your life is turned upside down, Greg, almost immediately, and your world will never be the same. The first thing the HSE do then is do a means test, so they check out a person's finances to see if they qualify for a medical card. The bar is very low. If you earn more than €164 a week, you will not pass that means test. So in fairness to the HSE, they then operate a discretionary system, and they will give a card on discretionary grounds, taking in your whole circumstances, the severity of your impairment and all the rest of it. And of the 2,200 service users for Spinal Cord Injuries Ireland, we estimate that about 700 don't have medical cards. Mm-hmm. And the importance of it, which is, in fairness, the question you asked me in the first place, the importance of it is we need medicine on a daily basis very often. I'm on 19 different pills a day myself, mm-hmm. just to kind of keep normal. We need equipment, wheelchairs, standing frames, shower chairs, as I mentioned, colostomy bags and the rest. And of course, medicines and access to a GP. They're the things it delivers, which, as you can imagine, are very expensive.
And Kieran, can I ask, you are approved for a medical card, is that for life? Or do we still have a situation that we see in other areas of medicine that someone who clearly is going to be in the same condition or worse going forward has to reapply for medical cards? So, have we got rid of that system? So in other words, if you are approved for a medical card and it's very, very clear that you have an injury that's not going to reverse, that it's there for life and you don't have to continuously keep applying and justifying your need of it?
I'm afraid not, Greg.
Wow. Okay.
We've made it very clear that access to a medical card that we're talking about would be on medically certified grounds, so that it's very formally signed off by a senior medical consultant or team that you have this injury and that it's not likely to improve. It would be brilliant if people with a spinal cord injury thought that they would improve at some stage.
Yeah,
I'd love,
but we know
we'd all welcome that. But that's not going to happen at the moment. If you do get a medical card, for which people are very grateful, of course, it is subject to review either annually or once every 3 years. The longest at the moment that anyone has one for is 3 years. And a review can involve submission of bank statements, income, assets, assessment of the household income, all of that. So that people who do have a medical card still live with the concern that it might be taken away on review in a year's time or 2 years time or 3 years time. The effect of that on some people is that they're a little bit scared to get into the workplace because people want to get back to work. I mean, the ideal for someone with a spinal cord injury is that they go back and become a taxpayer.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive, the system, isn't it, Kieran?
It sort of is. Mm. So what we're asking for is that if a person does have a card, that you push out the review cycle to 10 years, mm-hmm. which gives a person a chance to take up employment, to make a plan, because it's very difficult for some people to make a life plan if you think that your financial world could be overturned dramatically in a year or 2 years or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard for people to make any kind of long-term plan around that. So we would like to see that review cycle pushed out to 10 mm-hmm. years, again, because a medical consultant, a medical team will sign off to say this is, as you put it yourself, a lifelong condition.
And also
it isn't going away anytime
soon.
Kieran,
you want people, I would imagine, and it depends on each individual, but say, for instance, someone who's of an age and an ability to get back to work in some form or other, that it's better for them, obviously, that they're out there and interacting with society, less of a burden on the state. I presume, at least in some cases, hopefully it leads to better outcomes because they're more active and feel more healthy and as much as they can, certainly mentally healthy. So to sort of have a system in place that discourages that, now it doesn't apply to everyone, but that discourages that, sure. Kieran, it really beggars belief. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think anyone could make a constructive and meaningful argument to me to suggest that this is a good idea the way we're doing it right now. And that's the means test. That's the way I test. That's the test for things in my view.
It is, and we don't understand fully the rationale behind the non-provision of it on medically certified grounds. And we don't fully understand the rationale of the review system and the review cycle being so short. And you put your finger on it, Greg. One of the traditional problems that spinal cord injuries as a group found talking to people is social and employment isolation is a big problem for people. Getting around when you're mobility impaired is hard enough. I live in Dublin, so I have at least access to public transport network. As you say yourself, there are 78 people in Donegal, and I know Inishowen pretty well because I go on holidays to Kildaff on a regular basis to McGrory's, and I know that the public transport but it's tough,
yeah.
And the notion of being isolated is much more acute.
And also to Kieran, you know, we talk of 78 people and their families with spinal cord injury. You know, are they visible? Are they being discouraged from being, you know, back at work, back at education, where it might suit them? Obviously, that's not going to be for everyone. Do you know what I mean? Or are they because of the system sort of not seen like they should be. Okay, Kieran. Well, listen, I hope... sorry, Kieran, did you want to add something? Sorry.
No, not at all, Greg. Not at all.
Okay.
No.
I just want to thank you for coming on. I really do appreciate it. And
thank you very much for having me. And a hello to all these spinal cord injury service users, all 78 of them in Donegal, whom I hope are all Highland Radio listeners.
Okay, well, 80% of them may be, according to the statistics. Kieran, we look forward to having you back in the show in the not-too-distant future. Have a lovely day, please.
Greg, thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Kieran Fitzgerald, a former Garda Ombudsman Commissioner, also an RTE producer, and Kieran himself was paralysed, had an awful experience, spent a long time in Spain where he had the accident, a month in a coma after the fall off a pier, and also then spent a long time in Dublin hospitals and went through intensive rehabilitation. And it was after that intensive rehabilitation that Kieran himself became a member of the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, his term of office ending a couple of years ago. But as you can hear from Kieran, incredibly busy in terms of raising awareness and working with that organisation. It's Wellness Wednesday time. We're joined in studio, remotely, by Justin McDermott, fundraising manager at Jigsaw. Good morning to you, Justin. Can you hear me okay? I can't hear you.
I can, Greg.
I have you. Okay, good stuff. Can I say before we begin, and anyone watching on Zoom or on our stream will note, you have a fabulous moustache.
Well, thank you very much for that compliment to kick us off from the show, Greg. Can I say you have a very fantastic looking beard as well, if I may say something myself.
Right, okay. I think there's a slight delay in the line, but we'll work through. We're talking about Ireland's first National Compliment Day taking place this Friday, the 29th of September. It's free and it's so bloody easy for us to be nice to each other and pay ourselves a compliment. So tell us how the day is going to unfold and who's involved in it. And I suppose really the idea behind it, Justin.
Yeah, so National Compliment Day is it's a day where we in Jigsaw are celebrating the power of kindness in helping and supporting the mental health and well-being of young people in our community. And Greg, I think we all agree, Irish people, and I'm sure your listeners in Donegal are no different, have a very complex relationship with compliments. We tend to get somewhat dismissive and a bit embarrassed, but I think if we all remember our own lives and those times we might have gone through a bad day or somebody might have said something really nice and kind to us, that it's something that made us feel good in that moment and could have potentially changed our outlook on ourselves that day or indeed our outlook on life in general. And we know from our work in Jigsaw supporting the mental health and well-being of young people how important a kind word and kindness and compassion are to supporting a young person through a difficult time. So we just were inspired with the idea that, well, why don't we, in a world that seems very dark at times and seems very, very scary, that we would take the opportunity to try and celebrate the power of kindness and compassion, specifically when it comes to supporting our mental health and the mental health of the young people that we all love about and care for.
Yes, and we're all different, and some of us are more receptive to compliments and also to even commentary that doesn't seem too negative, like, yeah, you're very tired looking today. That's enough for some people, depending on their the type of person they are or their mental state, that can sort of detract from their day as well. Do you know what I mean? Now, some people might say, oh, people are very, very sensitive, but everyone's different. So my point being is that maybe the compliment that you give someone on Friday, that's the pick-me-up they need. And as you quite rightly say, might be enough to make them feel good for the rest of the day.
Absolutely. And look, we never really know what another person is going through or experiencing in their day, Greg. You know, like, you know, we go to work, we go to school, we go to college, you know, we interact with our family members and our friends on a daily basis. But we ever truly know what people are thinking and what they're experiencing. And that's why, again, you know, from our work in Jigsaw, meeting and supporting young people with their mental health day in, day out, there in Pierce Road and Letterkenny and across our other locations in Ireland, is that on many occasions, it is the young person will say that it is the kind word, the kindness that they would have gotten when they came in the door and met with Jigsaw staff members. And even the idea, we compliment them on their courage to come and meet us, because, you know, reaching out for help with challenges with mental health takes courage. And we recognize that and we compliment the young people who come to us. And many, many of them say how impactful that was to make them feel better about their decision to reach out and get help. And I think, if we think about our own lives, Greg, and think about the times where somebody said something nice. It could have been when a teacher might have said something nice, or a coach might have said, we played a good game, or a colleague said, you did a really good show there, Greg, I really enjoyed that. That how that made you feel, and that does stay with you. And I think it's sometimes that we tend, or so there'll be a lot of commentary on negativity. Well, we want to change that commentary because we know the world can be scary, but we also know the world can be full of kindness and compassion. And I'm sure the people of Donegal who continually show their kindness and compassion will stand up on Friday and help us celebrate National Compliment Day.
And we do have kindness and compassion, and we show it when it's needed, but we don't always show it. And, you know, sometimes we can actually be quite enclosed, and we might be thinking nice things but not say them. A lot of our interactions will be, how are you? I'm grand, how are you? It's a greeting. It's not a meaningful question. Or we could have a chit-chat, and I might be thinking something positive, you and you of me, but do we actually relate that? Let Friday be the day where you say, oh, and by the way, I must say such and such. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's simple, it's free, and we're probably thinking it anyway. We just have to orate it. Is there a fundraising element to this as well, too? Because, of course, Jigsaw is an organisation that does rely on the complement of public generosity.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we look, as the National Youth Mental Health Charity, we absolutely need the support of people to enable us to help and support more young people. You know, we provide free, confidential, non-judgmental, one-to-one talk therapy services, as I said, there in Letterkenny and Pierce Road with Damien and their team at Jigsaw Donegal, but also in 13 other locations across the country. Increasingly too, Greg, we're like this, you know, we're doing a Zoom call. Increasingly in Jigsaw, we are providing more and more services online to make sure that young people, if they're up in Inishowen or they're in South Donegal or places that we can't get or they can't get into Letterkenny, to make sure that we're there and we can be there to support them. But to do that, we need the support of people to enable us to do that through fundraising. So as you said, yes, National Compliment Day, you can support the campaign. We would love people to do so. Very simply, what we would like you to do on Friday, if you can show kindness and compassion to those around you by giving a compliment and recognising others, and then if you can visit our website, jigsaw.ie/Eurostar, where you can make a donation to enable us to help and support and show kindness to more and more young people.
And it's very important on programmes such as this, Justin, and we try and do it in a very constructive manner. We often talk about gaps in our mental health services. And then in another piece, we might talk about the importance of reaching out. And it's possible that people might conflate those two things and say, there's no point reaching out because I heard on the show yesterday that there are gaps in services. There are gaps in certain services and what have you, and it's very important that we highlight those to try and close them. But it's also very important to point out right now that there are fantastic services available. And pretty much if someone reaches out, they will get the help that they need, at least in the first instance. And that's the work that Jigsaw does, and it is there. So as I say, just a reminder that if someone's listening to this and they aren't in a good space or they feel they need help, Jigsaw and other organisations are there. So yes, of course, there are issues we need to address, but there are fantastic services like yours with a whole team of people just waiting to try and help people.
Absolutely, Greg. And I think I completely and applaud you for saying that, because yes, sometimes it can seem like with commentary that the support is there, where in fact the support is there, and organizations like us and Jigsaw are there to provide support. And again, it's not just for young people. Yes, we provide our direct one-to-one support for young people, but we're also there as a resource for parents, for teachers, for coaches, for anyone who have young people in their lives, to provide, again, advice and guidance on how you can support that young person in your life. So I would suggest that everybody, for more information about the range of supports that we provide and the range of information we provide, as I said, to young people, to parents and to other adults supporting young people, please visit our website, jigsaw.ie, to find out more. And as I said, in terms of National Compliment Day on Friday, 29th is Friday, if you can wake up in the morning with a sunny disposition, because Storm Agnes will be gone at that stage, hopefully, with a sunny disposition, and to say to your loved ones and your colleagues and your friends and everyone else, give them a compliment, and then visit jigsaw.ie/Eurostar to support and enable us to provide help and support to more and more young people across Donegal and indeed across the country.
And in a pleasant coincidence, Friday is actually going to be a nice day, the nicest day of the week. Okay, thank you very much for your time. If you want to, what is the nicest compliment you've ever received, or how has a compliment affected you? 0866, go on, Caroline, still waiting on mine. I pay you a compliment every day by turning up and working with you. You should be so grateful. I play Caroline compliments all of the time, and Neve, though she says I doesn't. Neve, I don't know, could be slightly more supportive, but anyway, she's got Friday to work, till Friday to work on something, work something out. 086 60 20. And her dad, Dominic, such a lovely fella as well. I don't know what's going on. 086 6025000 is the WhatsApp and text line. Or give us a call on 0749. Kieran O'Donnell's just walked in here. Kieran, you are looking fantastic. Have you been working out? I would say suave. Bit of a Tom Cruise vibe.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we're going to have a compliment day every day, Greg.
Yeah,
here.
I just have to say, the way you come into this, it's the confidence with which you walk.
Easy on now. Easy on now.
I'm serious. Every time. Okay, compliments, keep them coming. Keep them, start them. We never get any. Greg Hayes, will you shut up? Get off the radio. Oh, you're the boy everyone complains to. 086 6025000. What's that? Do you ever stop moaning? You know, you're a Fianna Fáil-er. You're a Fianna Gael-er. You're a shinner. You always give those independents an easy ride. Story of my life, Kieran, but I love it. 086 6025000, WhatsApps and texts that number. What's the best compliment you've received? Pass on a compliment to someone. We might tie this in with the and that's entertainment as well on Friday. Kieran O'Donnell is with me, but I do have to take a break. We're going to be chatting to, by the way, just to remind you, Friday is National Compliment Day, and I just want to say thank you. You're all fantastic. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening, and you're all brilliant people. And fantastic, brilliant. Okay, but I will come back with more compliments on Friday. So every Wednesday around about this time, we release a podcast on our website and on platforms such as and including Spotify and iTunes, and excluding all others, it's those two. And it is presented and produced by Kieran O'Donnell, and he comes in on a Wednesday to talk about it. Hi, Kieran.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay, so it's another busy one. We'll get to that in a moment, but as you are kind enough to put together some news for us, let's start with that. So, Zeus extending.
Yeah, the Zeus factory in Letterkenny, Greg, is seeking permission to extend its facility at the IDA Business Park. The company is planning alterations and an extension to the plant, and the application also includes the addition of 208 parking spaces and new illuminated external signage. So a decision on this application will be made by Donegal County Council in November.
All right, good stuff. Interesting event coming up where you can meet those behind some of your favourite crafts, I presume.
Yes, the Meet the Makers Donegal Craft Showcase will take place at Loch Est Castle in Donegal Town on Friday, October the 20th. The event will feature unique design-led products and fashion knitwear, jewellery, gifts and home accessories. And while the event is free, places are limited, so to secure a place, check out Donegal Local Enterprise Office social media platforms.
All right, good stuff. Now, a PhD opportunity, which is actually funded, has emerged.
Yeah, ATU Donegal has a fully funded full-time PhD opportunity available to investigate student mental health and wellbeing on the island of Ireland. So this application, the deadline is Friday, this Friday, Greg, this September 29th at 12 noon. And for more information, apply to lyit.ie/postgraduate research opportunities.
Fair play. I do wonder sometimes, though, about the naming of these things, because, of course, there are offshore islands and people might wonder, am I included? Of course they are, but, you know, words are important. You didn't name it, someone did.
Yeah.
But anyway, be that as it may. Right, new online PR service launched.
Yeah, Ireland's first online PR service to fill a gap in the market for SMEs with limited time and budgets has been launched by the owner of Inish Communications, Trish Higgerty. Trish, who previously worked as a journalist with BBC and the Irish Times, says it offers high-quality interactive tools combined with one-to-one expert mentoring. So the Innes Expertise PR Toolkit is a custom-built integrated system for creating plans and a calendar data. It's going to be specific to the client and combined with one-to-one online mentoring sessions. So for more information, check out innescommunications.com.
Rightio, now the Radisson Hotel, believe it or not, 2 decades in situ there.
I just heard the jingle on the way up there. Paul Byrne and his team are this week celebrating 20 years in business, and to mark the milestone, he's inviting members of the public to call into the hotel on Friday between 12 noon and 4:30 to join with them and their celebrations. John Bresnan's Across the Northwest will be broadcast from the Radisson, while the Letterkenny Ukulele Orchestra will also be performing here after John's show.
All right, good. I heard the promos for that. Right. Shall we get on to what's coming up on this week's podcast? Who's your guest?
Yeah, this week, Greg, I'm joined by the owner of Khaki Evening in Gweedore, Evening O'Dea, and the executive director of Asia Matters, Martin Murray. Even Odie set up her baking business at the age of 13 and has been working full-time on the venture since she finished secondary school a couple of years ago. She travelled to Dublin and Wicklow for work experience during her TY and got the opportunity to see how busy bakeries operated during that time. Even is currently participating on the Food Academy programme with SuperValue and works out of a converted container next to her home at Coshclary. Here, Even talks about the challenges she has encountered since setting up her business.
I suppose there's not quite a big network of young people like myself who are doing business. You're always kind of looking to connect with those people and get advice from them. But I suppose challenges for me is the fact that it's not quite the traditional route that most people typically go on, the journey that I'm on. So I suppose having that direction and, you know, constant momentum of, you know, driving yourself forward can sometimes be hard, especially in the quieter seasons. But what I have found is from the likes of, you know, the Leos and those courses that I'm mentioning that are available, they are like the drivers sometimes when they're mentoring you along, and they just give you goals to work towards. And there's just so much out there. So it's just, I suppose, trying to keep yourself involved and busy with it all.
Now, Eveen was a contestant in the
Low.
Yeah,
that's okay. Great.
And learned a bit more about her. Really, really impressive, and as much drive as need.
She's going, she's only 20, Greg, and her business is going 7 years. Got a lot of support from home, got a lot of support from Udris and local enterprise office. When COVID came, I suppose the house became busier because her brothers were away. They came back, so they decided to embark on a COVID project, which entailed purchasing a container, and they modified the container, and that was where she's working out of now, overlooking Clary River.
Right, brilliant. Continued success. Now, you flagged, I think, last week or the week before, a growing business with Asia initiative, and your second guest it ties in with that.
Yes, the growing business with Asia from the Northwest Knowledge Hub Conference is taking place in Letterkenny, Greg, as you said, on Monday, October the 2nd and Tuesday, October the 3rd. I spoke to Martin Murray, Executive Director of Asia Matters, who are organising the event, and in this clip, Martin explains what the organisers of the two-day seminar are hoping to achieve.
Well, we're trying to do working with the partners. We want to get people to reimagine Donegal as a talent region, with Letterkenny as a key business hub, and promote the Donegal, Derry, Strabane, Northwest City Region Partnership. People are surprised when I tell them that this City Region Partnership has a population of over 300,000 people. People are not aware of that. And as I say, to show examples of great FDI companies like TCS and the work they do, Indigenous companies like Irish Pressings, and indeed Electroute that started from there. So I think it's a positioning piece, and it's not just the people in the room, it's the branding around this and the people we reported to after, and the follow-up from the people in the room and the partners are in self, who's being introduced to whom, who's being encouraged to visit Donegal and see for themselves, and who from Donegal is meeting with the key Asian stakeholders.
All right, okay, so exploring opportunities there, no doubt, and could be potentially big opportunities here.
Yeah, I think the main focus, Greg, is an opportunity to network and to meet. One figure that sort of stood out, it's in relation to the Irish two-way trade. Over the last 10 years, that figure has soared to 67 billion euro. And they reckon by the middle of this decade, that will exceed 100 billion.
Can you imagine just getting 0.5% of that?
Yeah.
0.25%.
And the only thing that Martin mentioned, I suppose, is while Donegal is very good for tourism and hospitality, it's not the only area where Donegal is strong on. And he mentioned three companies actually, TCS, Irish Pressings and Fintru. And I suppose the opportunities there and the opportunities for small and medium-sized businesses to maybe expand. And one of the key things he said was, I suppose, if they get the roots there, the rest will come. So it's an opportunity to build, connect, and see where things can go from there.
All right, we heard two tiny wee clips there, two 50-odd second clips from Even and Martin. But you dig much deeper in the podcast. It's available now, Kieran.
Yeah, it's available to download now, Greg, and it's also available, as you say, on Spotify and iTunes.
Now, if people want to listen to it live on scheduled radio, it's on Sunday.
Yeah, after the 6 o'clock news, Greg, on Sunday evening.
But what if someone wants to get in contact with you about the show?
Oh, drop an email to businessmatters@hiddenradio.com.
Can you imagine if we rehearsed it, Kieran?
No.
Two Johnnies wouldn't get a looking.
I know.
Right, come
no
here.
Comment.
Listen, the podcast's available for you right now to go and listen to at your leisure. Download it or stream it from the website. It's up to you. Or you can listen to it on Sunday. Kieran, back with us next Wednesday to preview next week's podcast. Kieran, thanks so much for your time. As always, we really do appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg.
We'll be back with the last segment after these. Over 50 now and I have no money left at the end of the month for the pot due to cost of living. What happens to people like us when it comes to pensions? Well, that's the problem. And I think in this part of the world, you're probably in the majority rather than the minority. I'm on a medical card and I recently started a rural scheme. We were told that we would be guaranteed a medical card, but now it's reviewed every 2 years. I agreed to do this scheme for my mental health. I think it's got more to do with keeping people in a job than actually serving a purpose. It appears no one in this country is ever sacked, especially in this country. If you get a public service job, here you are there for life. Aurora's Hobbits, we're all behind you. Indeed, okay. They're all down there now in the piddling rain at Letterkenny Market Square. If you can get down and give them a toot and stand with them, they'd love that. Good morning, Greg. I'm 70 in June and have 14 years contributory pension and now receiving a pension weekly of €172.90. Difficult to meet all the living costs on that weekly income. That comes in from John. Yeah, and John, I can imagine. Politicians and media bandy about words like fascist to describe those in any way opposed to mass immigration. However, opinion polls have consistently found citizens want migrant numbers reduced. To deny them a voice would not be unwise, but undemocratic. We need a referendum. I don't think there's been in Ireland consistent polls. I think there's one opinion poll, but one that can't be ignored either. Great to hear we Scots priest in cathedral on Sunday laying it on the line to those Catholics who voted to repeal the Eighth Amendment in 2018. And you know what? Nobody got up from their pews and walked out. Perhaps the fact that abortion figures are heading for well over 10,000 this year and 40,000 since legislation. Yet still the State and Media Silence Alliance rules. P.S. Plenty of help available for those wanting to travel for abortion. Not so if you have to travel for cancer treatment. Hi, Greg. More social housing to be built in Ballymacool. The council would need to upgrade the footpath from St. Union's to Ballymacool Terrace. The footpath is not a metre wide in place. It's very dangerous with people with prams and small children. This must be addressed before someone is seriously injured. Anyone else have a say on this? Thanks from a concerned member of the public. Good morning, Greg. I received a life-changing injury a few years ago and have applied for invalidity pension last July, and I didn't qualify. I have GP's letter stating that I'm incapable of any type of work due to my injury. I had to reapply again as my appeal keeps getting turned down. My GP says it's a disgrace why they are refusing me invalidity pension. If I came in from another country, I'd get whatever I need. This is just my situation. They believe the government is a joke. Hi, we had an appointment in Dublin Hospital 2 weeks ago. Hotel, car park, diesel, food, nearly €700. And we have to go two or three times a year. Crazy, crazy tax. It's a Donegal tax, really, isn't it, on our health? It's the only way one could describe it. Rebus Aaron, they don't accept student cards, but they do accept LEAP cards, but you have to book it online. ATU is an agent for them if anyone needs a card. It's a great alternative if you have no other form of transport to a certain area, but you are a student and need cheap fares. Hi, Greg. With all the strikes for better pay, I heard this morning that TDs are getting a pay rise next month of €109 as they make the rules and hold the key to their own purse strings. So where's the parity here? They're getting well paid enough. By the way, regarding transport, I've never seen a TD on public transport. Good luck to Eamon Ryan cycling in this weather. Appointments in Dublin have to go up the night before. Kevin and Dunlow. Thanks for that, Kevin. Let's see. There's some longer formed ones here. Greg, can you announce an oil spillage on the main road between the turnoff for Carrigans to the Anthony Piper? Car's already skidded off, but it's okay. Thank you, Greg. No problem. Happy enough to mention that. Let me see here. Greg, back to Letterkenny University Hospital almost 2 weeks ago. My mother-in-law, who's almost 89, was taken to LUH in an ambulance at 8 p.m. and left in the ambulance outside the ED until after midnight. That's over 4 hours. Then got into the ED, got a cubicle with a trolley and left on it all day. We were in it at 5 p.m. She said she was desperate for the toilet, but nobody was listening to her. I asked a nurse. She said they had to check with the doctor to see could she get out of bed as blood pressure was too high. So waited another 10 minutes and went back to nurse and said even if we could get a commode, she'd be over ASAP. Another 10 minutes, I went looking for nurse again as my mother-in-law was almost in tears and saying, please, please help me as I didn't want to wet myself. The nurse again futtered again. I gave up and asked an ambulance man. Then he got a nurse to help her. She didn't get a bed until after 10 p.m, which then included time in an ambulance was 26 hours for a fragile six, almost 89-year-old. The staff are doing their very best, but LUH is a disgrace and needs new management, as if any business was being run so badly and so many complaints, the management would be chased ages ago and replaced by a team that are capable of the important job they need to be able to do. A caller says LGBT abuse between partners is also high, and most abuse against men is not reported or counted in government statistics, such as parent alienation, which is more likely to be undertaken by a female than a male. Also, please do remember that all abuse is wrong, no matter the gender, and that there's a tiny proportion of funding on abuse given to men and none on parental alienation organisations in Ireland. So they're mostly unheard. There's not one shelter in Ireland for men or alienated parents and children to escape to in the whole of Ireland, why they ask. Hi, Greg. He's not there, Caroline. Or else I would have gone to him by now. Thank you very much, dear. Hi, Greg. The HSE regularly... Caroline can speak in my ear. I think it's only fair that your commentary to me should be published, Caroline, so that I think it works on other shows. You know, you go, hi, Greg, do this. And I'll go, okay, Caroline, and the listeners can hear. Hi, Greg. The HSE regularly cancel appointments in Galway on the day of the appointment without any prior notice to individuals travelling from Donegal, sometimes costing the individual for overnight stays, etc. The HSE should be made pay compensation for these cancellations. I never even considered that. Can you imagine? The public transport is a disgrace in this country. The promotion of electric cars in Ireland is also a joke. They are not carbon neutral, given they are powered by coal-powered electrical plants. Well, they are and they aren't. You know, 40-odd percent of our electricity is green, generated by green resources. And also, it's not necessarily what they are burned on. It's what they emit as well. So if you look at a petrol and diesel car, it's obviously mined fuel and process, but it also then produces in the burning process nasty elements. So I get where you're coming from. It's often said, but at least, 40% of the power is green generated, and at least they don't put out anything nasty. So it's not an equal comparison. It's a false equivalence. But I appreciate your comments, and I'm going to read it on here. They are not environmentally friendly, given mining involved are the minerals required for batteries. The batteries reduced in capacity year on year, reduced range by around 12% per year. I didn't experience that in the electric car I drove, to be honest. It maintained its capacity. Battery replacement costs €12,000. The batteries are also extremely dangerous in the event of an accident, particularly if they catch fire. Okay, and then they go on to talk about the pressure on the grid. Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather joins us. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good. All right, what's the story with Agnes? I don't want to be too parochial. We'll talk about us here. I think we're going to get a light passing. You can tell us about that in a moment. But what's the situation for our friends down the country at the moment?
So a large number of trees have come down in Cork City and north of Cork. A lot of power outages popping up now around Cork and into Tipperary. The strongest of the winds have been Cork, Waterford so far. Very heavy rain, some localised flooding. It's absolutely lashing rain here in Carlow at the moment, and some strong gusts as well. So Agnes is really making herself felt in the south of the country. The centre is just off the southwest, and it will track up along the west coast. But the eye of the storm passing through the northwest through this afternoon and this evening.
And because we are having the eye passing over us, less rain, less wind?
Yeah, so you have some heavy rain and you will have some more rain, but you will escape the worst of the wind. Still gusting possibly up to maybe 80 kilometres an hour on the west northwest coast there, but you will miss the worst of the winds. But still some very heavy rain. The rain will clear and the winds will ease off through this afternoon. So for once, the northwest is escaping the worst of the Atlantic storm.
All right, Alan, stay safe. Thank you so much for your time. We're back with you tomorrow morning at 9. John Breslin is next. Good morning to you.